Suicide is one of those subjects society struggles to talk about. People who care about the people who kill themselves are left wondering what might have prevented the death. News media generally do not report suicides unless they involve people of note. So it can come as a surprise to learn some of the facts of suicide, including that the most frequent suicides occur not among young people trying to figure out their lives, but among older people who have already lived fairly long lives. Men 70 plus make up the group with the highest rate of suicide. The state of Oregon is aware and is noticing its own position on the list, which is generally in the top 10 nationwide, and working to bring the rates down. Our guest in the studio is Sean Connolly, who is an older adult behavioral health specialist with senior and disability services at the Rogue Valley Council of Government. Sean, welcome to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
So this was identified as a public health problem some time ago, but even longer ago, I think you were telling me as you arrived in the studio, than it appears.
Yeah. Oregon has been in the top 10 of suicides for any age group in the nation for quite a few decades. And even as suicide rates go down nationwide as a whole, we still tend to be toward the top.
Any idea why? Do we have any idea what makes Oregon so prone to suicides?
There's lots of different viewpoints on it. You can kind of extrapolate what you will from it, but some of it has to do with the kind of cold, dreary winters that we tend to have here. We have a lot of access to firearms in this part of the country. So there's kind of a lot of different factors that you can attribute to it, but it's really hard to pinpoint exactly what the leading cause is.
Now, the fact that it is men 70 plus appear to be the largest demographic for suicides now, is that a fairly recent development, or has that always been the case as well?
You know, I'm not sure when that became kind of a blip on the radar for the state, is knowing that, whoa, these older men are dying. You know, if you look at just raw numbers, the age group that has the most is actually the 45 to 65 age. But if you break it down per capita, that's when you really see a shift in the graph, so to speak, when you get much higher per 100,000 of the population, you get a much higher from the 70 and older.
All right. So at the rate that you're saying it's
right.
70 plus. Okay. But
yeah.
The numbers are higher in the 45 to 60.
Right. Yeah. If you're just taking raw number of deaths, mm-hmm. it's higher in that 45 to 65 age.
So how far does Oregon land above the national average in senior suicides in particular?
In senior suicides, I'm not entirely sure. I think we were fourth in 2015, which is the most recent data I have access to. I'm sure there is more recent data out there, but sometimes it's hard to get really, really accurate data for deaths, because investigations can be ongoing for some time. So,
right,
yeah.
But ranking fourth is not a place you necessarily want to be.
No,
as a state
no.
In an area like this.
Yeah, it's not a race where you like, hey, I'm fourth place.
Right. No, yeah. Not a good trophy kind
yeah.
of thing. So and how much is the imbalance men versus women, particularly in the senior groups?
Men, it's considerably considerably higher than women and across the age group, whether you're talking about the older population or not. Up to twice as many men, and most of the time it's more than that. So if you're looking at like the 50 to 55 age group, you're about twice as many men. But when you get down to the 70, you're looking at probably three or four times more men dying by suicide than women.
All right. So a bunch more men for sure. And do we know the drivers? Why older people in particular will commit suicide, and why so many men?
There's an interesting anecdote. I did a training with Jackson County. Jackson County has a suicide prevention specialist that does trainings throughout the county to schools and other places. And they brought a bunch of people in from multiple agencies to do a suicide postvention training. And postvention is a little different than prevention. But one of the trainers came from New Hampshire, and they gave an anecdote about a town, I think it was in Indiana, a small town, 40,000 people or less, and the funeral home noticed that if a wife died of any cause, within a year, it was very likely that they would see her husband in their morgue as well. So they started to have people go and visit these husbands that were left alone for a year after the death of a spouse, and they saw their male death rates go way down. Because these men were just lonely, and you know, after being married for X number of years, they didn't know what to do, so they killed themselves.
I wonder too, in Oregon's case, whether assisted suicide gets wrapped into the numbers.
It does not. So when you're talking about suicide rates, the Death with Dignity Act doesn't pair into that.
Okay. All right. It's good to know that that is not one of the things that drives Oregon up into the higher numbers of rates for suicide around the country. We're talking to Sean Connolly, who is with the Rogue Valley Council of Governments. He's a behavioral health specialist working in particular with older adults. And older adults, as you're hearing, is the largest group at rate anyway for suicides in the state of Oregon. You can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So you mentioned having sessions with people where you talk about the situation, and the state of Oregon has been focused on this for quite some time now, it sounds like.
Yes, yeah, and overall the suicide rates have been going down, again, nationally and in Oregon. But for some reason, we have a hard time kicking it. And there's a big initiative called Zero Suicide. The goal is to have a 0% suicide rate. One thing I know in Jackson County specifically, we tend to have a higher suicide rate than the state of Oregon overall. And that's a lot because we have really good medical examiners that don't just want to put undetermined on the death certificate. They really, really do a good investigation and they really try to determine whether it was suicide or not.
Okay, so that's an interesting concept that just by more accuracy in the process of defining the cause of death that you can end up with a higher rate, which is not necessarily something you want, but it sure
right.
beats not knowing.
Yes, yeah, it's certainly more accurate.
So the percentage of older adults living with depression, this is an interesting set of demographics that I noticed that you guys work with. And so just talking about the rates, older adult suicide rates in Oregon by age per 100,000, 75 to 84 is a rate of it's a 27.4 per 100,000. So basically 27 suicides per 100,000
right,
population.
Correct. Okay. Yeah.
And that rises actually to 31% for the 85 plus demographic. So it even gets higher than that.
Right.
As you get older.
Yeah, as you get older, and again, a lot of that has to do with access to firearms and. As people age, you know, there's lots and lots of different changes in people's lives. They lose, you know, from retirement, they lose a lot of motivation in their work. They lose their roles in their families. They may have been the matriarch or the patriarch for a long time, but now it's daughter or daughter-in-law or son-in-law that's coming along to kind of take over the family. So those changing roles and deaths of spouses and, you know, we sometimes forget, you know, people as they age, they're kind of going off into the sunset and having a happy life at the end. But there's really a lot of changes that are happening for people in their lives.
And not necessarily good ones. I mean, the decline of health and all the other things that come with mm-hmm. with older life, not necessarily the, you know, what was the statement about youth, old age is not for the... For the faint of heart,
right, exactly,
something like that.
Yeah,
not for chickens, anyway. I'm really looking at some of these other numbers and charts that you guys use in your work, and the percentage of older adults living with depression for the state of Oregon. And I don't know what older adults is defined as. Is that 50 plus?
Usually, it's 60. Yeah,
60 plus. Okay, but the state of Oregon percentage of older adults living with depression is 11.5. Jackson County's is a bit higher than that.
Yeah, and 12%. Yeah, if you look at the graph that we have here, there's only like a half percentage difference, so it looks like a big difference because the graph is so small. But you know, half a percent's not a huge amount. But again, I don't really know why we have that little higher rate in Southern Oregon than we do statewide.
All right, and we'd already talked about the fact that Oregon has some fairly dreary winters, and it is a state that has a high diagnosis rate of lifetime depression for adults 50 and older.
Yeah, nationwide we have a pretty high rate of depression. It's interesting because I know that there's you know, tourism related to surrogacy that happens in Oregon, and for Oregon's a really desirable place for surrogate mothers to be because we do get – there's a lot of outdoor things going on. We get a lot of sunshine in the summer times, but I think we forget that the winters can be pretty gray across the board here.
Suicide, particularly older suicide, the concept and the discussion here on the Jefferson Exchange with Sean Connolly, who is a behavioral health specialist with the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, specializing in older adults. You can join the conversation on the exchange as we move from talking about what some of the causes and some of the numbers are to talking about prevention. Join us at 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So it sounds like, at least for a few years now, Oregon Health Authority and other agencies have had an approach, a plan, a campaign, whatever you want to call it, for dealing with suicide. Is it particularly aimed at older adults?
Usually not. So there's a big push for Senate Bill, I can't remember, 560 or something like that. I can't remember the bill off the top of my head. But that was a couple of years ago, and it's focused on youth suicide, so anybody under the age of 24. And Jackson County Mental Health – or Health and Human Services, rather, has a suicide prevention coordinator, and Jackson County Health and Human Services get notified anytime a person under the age of 24 dies by suicide. They get notified within 3 days, and then there's a plan in place. So that, as I was mentioning earlier – there was a bunch of us that did a training on postvention, and basically that's the stuff you do after somebody has died by suicide, especially if it's somebody, a public figure or somebody, you know, a school counselor or a pastor, or what do you do? How do you pick up the pieces? And so there are resources out there for, you know, how do you handle when your school superintendent dies by suicide? But again, the focus has really been on schools and youth, and usually when bills like that are passed, it does transfer into other age ranges eventually.
So how different is the rate, though? I mean, we're talking about spending a lot of attention and energy and money, I presume, on youth suicide. But is the rate very different, very much lower than for adult suicide?
Well, yeah. If you take in, again, the actual numbers, if you break it down by number of deaths, the suicide rate is pretty high. Excuse me. For youths under the age of 24, but when you take it as a section of the population, it's actually fairly low on the list.
Does that terminology itself make it somewhat difficult to approach the problem when you're explaining to people? So, well, yes, the numbers are high, but there's also a lot of people in this age group. Therefore, even though the rate is not high, the overall number is.
Right. Yeah. It can be hard to explain it to people, especially if you don't have, you know, if you have one set of data and you don't have the other set of data, it can be hard to really show people the difference. When I do a presentation on older adult suicide, I have two different graphs. One of them has the actual raw number rate, and then the very next slide is the per capita, and you can just see the shift in the two slides, and it's a really big visual cue as to what's happening.
Grab your headphone. We'll take a call here from Ann and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking senior suicide with Sean Connolly. Hi, Ann.
Thank you. Well, I have a comment, and I also have a question. My comment is Oregon is one of the least religious states in the Union. And so we here in Oregon have the privilege, if we want to commit suicide, we don't have to worry about going to hell. The question is, if an adult makes the decision that they no longer want to live, you know, it could be because of health-related issues or whatever, why is that regarded as a problem? Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Appreciate that.
So I'm assuming you're talking about if you don't want to live, and maybe a death with dignity.
She didn't mention death with dignity.
Okay.
Just, you know, didn't want to live.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It really depends on, like you mentioned, religious views. And the thing a lot of people don't think about, though, is the kind of macro look of suicide. When if one person dies, it doesn't just affect that one person. It has a really big impact on their, you know, small social circle, and depending on who they were in the community, can have a really big impact that spreads kind of broadly into the community itself. So I think there's a lot of stigma about suicide. There's not a lot of discussion going on. Same with mental illness. People don't talk about it, and people don't really understand it.
Well, yeah, as I said at the outset, it's not an easy topic to talk about in society.
Right.
It is one of those things that we don't talk about. The news media doesn't talk about much. You know,
yeah.
We don't cover suicides as suicides unless a famous person's involved.
Yes.
That sort of thing.
And really how you cover suicide can really impact things. You take Marilyn Monroe, for example, and the headlines were, Marilyn died by suicide. And the data shows that there was a spike in suicides. It was like a 200% spike after Marilyn Monroe died in youth suicide for 30 days. And then you take Kurt Cobain, when he died, and all Rolling Stone put was Kurt Cobain, date of birth, date of death. That was it. No spike. So how we cover suicide in the media has a really big impact on the community at large.
So how do we approach suicide, though, particularly for older adults? I mean, if you're talking about people who are living in isolation, which is probably a large part of the problem,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you find points of contact to be able to hit portions of the population that need the attention, need the guidance, and if there is another option, to consider that.
Yeah, a lot of outreach is really, really important. At RVCOG, we have the Food and Friends, which is the Meals on Wheels, so our folks go out to a lot of homes, rurally especially, to deliver meals to folks. And that's a really good point of entry to get eyes on people, and you see them week after week. So being in the home is a really good point of contact.
And are the Food and Friends delivery people trained to notice some signs of depression?
Yeah, they have a variety of training on different topics. But yeah, they, depending on how long they've been there, the trainings kind of come in cycles. So, but yeah, there are boots on the ground, so to speak. We do have a little bit of kind of a new movement happening in mental health where they're doing more home visiting, which is great, especially for seniors with limited mobility or ability to transport. You know, they can't drive anymore or what have you. So it is good that we're seeing more mental health folks going out to the homes to see these folks, and you get a much different picture than somebody coming into your office, even if they've been coming in for a long, long time.
But if a person is not eligible for some of these programs, I mean, are there points of contact that can be found to be able to reach out to people who, again, isolation, I imagine, is a large part of the issue.
Yeah. Social isolation, by its very definition, just means that you have fewer contacts in the community. So church groups and things like that, if you have an active church community or you're part of one, having an outreach branch of your church can be really helpful. The VA does a lot of outreach. So there's lots of different programs. Not everybody fits into those programs, and not everybody wants to. Part of the reason some of these folks are isolated is because they want to be, and they don't like a lot of human contact.
Which then raises the question for I guess the rest of us, who are not mental health professionals or in any sort of professional capacity, if we're concerned about somebody, I know we've talked many times about suicide on the show, to not be afraid to talk about it. You're not going to cause somebody's suicide by asking, "Are you thinking of harming yourself?"
Yes.
So what can just folks do if they're concerned about a senior?
Yeah, like asking is the best thing really you can do. That's what every suicide prevention training tells you to do is ask. You're not going to plant the seed in somebody's mind if they're already thinking about it. If they're not thinking about it, they're going to think it's a crazy idea anyway. So, just asking, "Hey, have you ever thought of do you have any thoughts of killing yourself?" Like I said, when that anecdote about the small town, just having people visiting and having regular contact with the men that after their wives had passed was just dropped the suicide rate in that case too. So just, bringing meals or coming, we have a group called AgeWise Age Well here in Jackson County that they're kind of peer support counselor type folks. And they go out and they just kind of chat with folks and, they're peers. So they have a lot in common and they can just kind of have a friendly companion to talk to.
We'll take a couple more minutes here with Sean Connolly here on the Jefferson Exchange. He's an older adult behavioral health specialist in senior and disability services with the Rogue Valley Council of Governments. And we're talking about suicide among older people in the population because the rates do tend to spike past age 70. 70-plus men in particular are a bit prone to this. You can join the conversation on the exchange. Stories, questions, comments, 800-838-3760 by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. I noticed that the target rate for the Oregon Health Authority for the year 2020 is above what the actual rate was among the senior population about 10 years ago. And it raises the question if it sounds like it's been a problem for a long time, but is it a bit more acute with the baby boom generation?
It seems to be, yeah. The baby boomers tend to not want to talk about any sort of mental illness or any problems that they have because they're, like we were talking about, the stigma that mental illness has as well as suicide. And that's not to say that all people with mental illness are suicidal, but it does play a big factor into somebody's desire to kill themselves. So people of the boomer generation in general, again, these are generalities, they usually don't like to talk about it, and they see it as weakness. They're more likely to talk to their doctor or healthcare professional than to seek out actual mental health, therapist or psychiatrist.
So where does the psychological general thinking stand right now? I mean, suicide, I don't know if it's even still a criminal thing, where if you used to be caught trying to commit suicide, you were potentially could be charged with a crime. And I don't know where things stand in the psychological structure now, whether wanting to harm yourself is considered a sign of mental illness or if it's categorized somehow else.
I think it kind of gets lumped into mental illness. And, you know, a lot of times you find people that do want to kill themselves or have actually died by suicide, have a history of depression or anxiety or what have you. And so usually I don't think it's a crime anymore. I used to be a police officer and we never arrested anybody for attempting suicide, but we would take them up to the hospital and they would, you know, get locked up essentially in the psych ward up there as a, you know, a precaution to protect themselves. So, and it's not a criminal thing as far as the ORS goes, but it's certainly a concern. And as an officer, you definitely will take somebody into custody if they're being suicidal.
So we talked about the ways in which people can reach out to people who they think may be vulnerable and thinking about harming themselves. And for the people who are thinking of harming themselves firsthand, then, I mean, what are some of the options they should go to? What are some of the places they might call, the people they might contact?
Yeah, there's Jackson County has a crisis line. I don't have that number off the top of my head.
Is that the 779 help?
I think so.
Okay.
Their crisis line's 24 hours, so you can call anytime. There's national crisis suicide hotlines that you can call. Veterans have a specific one. So if you dial the national suicide hotline, you can press 2 for veterans, and it'll take you to an actual veteran on the phone. So you can talk to somebody who really knows what you're going through. So there's lots of different hotlines and web resources if somebody has that capacity. One thing that I forgot to mention when you're talking about outreach and resources for folks, there's senior companions and warm lines and mm-hmm. things like that. So there was a big push in England to have a group of people that call somebody every week on a Saturday or okay. whatever and really chat with folks every
right.
week.
Many options out there. All right. Sean Connolly, thanks for joining us. Older adult behavioral health specialist in the Senior Disability Services at RV COG, Rogue Valley Council of Governments. Good to see you.
Thanks for having me.